Judges chapter 6. I will pick up in verse 34. It says, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and to Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water." Excuse me. "And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We come before you, Lord, asking you to help us to guide in this time now, Lord, and just help us to learn from the life of Gideon, the truths that are here. There really is so much, God, and I just pray you'd help us to take heed to it and to apply it to our lives, God, and to be faithful to follow you, to walk in the steps of men like Gideon and the faith that he exhibited, Lord, to do some very difficult things that nobody else was willing to do, Lord, but help us to be that way and to live a life of faith, God, that others can see and we can encourage them to follow you, Lord God. Help us through our example, encourage others to follow you, Lord. I think especially of our own children. God, forgive all of us for the failures that we've had, as especially the parents, Lord. We've failed many times over, things we're ashamed of, things we regret. But God, just help us to be faithful through it all, to be willing to admit we're wrong, to confess that, and Lord, to learn from our mistakes and to keep following you. Lord, please help us to be just faith-filled people that will walk in truth and lead our children in that. Please, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're looking at Gideon here. And Gideon, it says in verse 34, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. The Spirit of God came upon him. Gideon was Spirit-filled, and this is why God used him so much. And again, we link that to the fact that of his walk with God, that he walked with God as he did, and he had spent that time with God, and he encountered God in a personal way. And God has to be personal to us. He can't just be some abstract that, you know, I don't much understand this as much as some of you others in here will, but I didn't grow up in a Christian home. So to me, like, a lot of this was pretty much all new to me. I grew up in a mostly secular home, really, because we said we were Catholic, but never went to any type of church. I mean, I did a little bit after my father died, but it was mostly secular. We just kind of did what we wanted. Sunday was just another part of the weekend. It was a day for us and to do what we wanted. But others of you have grown up with, you know, the familiarity of Christianity. And, you know, Gideon had grown up around religion, but he had to have a personal encounter with God. And this is why salvation is so important. I mean, true, genuine salvation, that each person knows the Lord, that that they can go back in their own mind and say, I know when I met the Lord. You know, every young person needs to be able to do that. That it needs to be your testimony, not the testimony your parents are telling you you had. Yeah. And parents, please don't ever tell your children their testimony. Let them say it. Don't add things that, well, they missed this. Don't do that to them, because then they're going to start thinking, well, maybe that is what happened, but they don't remember it. So let it be their testimony. And if, you know, one day they come and realize, man, I wasn't saved, and I just kind of, my parents told me these things and I just accepted them, I don't really remember it, and they realize that they're not saved, they'll get saved. Praise the Lord for that. But if it's their testimony, then they'll say, no, this is mine. This is what happened. This is what God did for me. Let them have that. Let it be theirs. Let God bring them to salvation. But just like Gideon had that personal encounter with God, we too must have that. Every adult needs to have that. I mean, that happened to me as an adult when I came to know the Lord. And I had that personal encounter with Him. And if we want to be Spirit-filled, that's got to be number one. We got to be saved. We have to first have the Spirit of God living within us, which takes place at salvation. And then the filling with Him You know, kind of goes with the song that the Myers sang. You know, I did all these things for you. What have you done for me? And it's coming down to a yielding up to him. And some people think, well, that's like a work salvation. No, it's not. It's our reasonable service. Yeah. Romans 12 tells us that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's our reasonable service to do things for God out of love, because we love him. Look at all he did for me. I mean, that's why spouses serve one another. And that's why spouses submit themselves to one another, because they love each other. I mean, that's why my wife serves me. That's why I serve my wife, is because we love each other. And that's why we should serve God. It's our reasonable service. For all he's done for us, that's the very least that we could do for him. So we need to be spirit-filled. And it comes back to our relationship with him. Now, understanding that when we as spirit-filled men and women make a call to spiritual arms against our common enemies, we can expect to have our families standing by our side. Look at verse 34. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and look at this, he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messengers unto Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. So he has even other tribes coming, people from other tribes, but it mentions specifically, and Abiezer was gathered after him. When he blows the trumpet, those are the first ones to come. Abiezer. Now let's go back to chapter 6, but verse 11. And it says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the what? Or the who? Joash was what? An Abiezrite. Joash the Abiezrite and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress. Now, when Gideon, after he's done what he did, and all everybody knew it because they wanted to kill him for it, his father steps up and says, hey, are you going to plead for Baal? If Baal's God, then let him do his own thing, okay? He doesn't need your help. But when Gideon blows that trumpet, Abiezer was gathered after him. You know, that was his close family. That's who was gathered after him, was those that were close to him. Now, if we follow God as we should, every one of us, okay, we need to be spirit-filled. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. We need that spirit-filling, which is submission to God. So if we will follow God as we should, we can expect to see our children's children standing in line with us. Amen. We should be able to expect to see that. But that means we have to walk in the path we need to. We have to wear the path out that they're going to follow in. Any of you ever been in the mountains and you walk on a trail? You know it's clear, because that's where a lot of times it's game trails. That's where the game go. They have these same paths, and they wear a path out through there. And you know, as long as I stay on this, I'm good. If I get off of this, I can very easily get lost. And you know, sometimes people get lost in the mountains, and what happens? They die. They don't get found, but they die out there. Why? Because they left the trail that was given before them, that others had gone on. They got off the trail. They lost, and there was consequences to getting off the trail. Okay? The same thing applies for us. If we will set the trail for our children, they're going to have a path that they can easily follow. So there's a spiritual call to arms. They'll be right there. They'll be the first in line saying, I'll go, Mom. I'll go, Dad. I'm with you. I'm behind you. Grandma, I'm behind you, Grandpa. That's what they'll be able to say. That's what happened with Gideon. It was his family that was there. His family tree that he came down, those were the ones that were willing to follow him. So for us, if we follow God as we should, we can expect to see our children's children in line with us. Proverbs 23:26 says this, my son, give me thine heart. Give me your heart. This is every parent's prayer, every godly parent's prayer to their children is, please give me your heart. Give me your heart. Let me guide it. Let me show you the direction to go. I want to direct which way you go. Okay, I want to lead you in that. Okay, I want to show you what steps to take, what not to do, how not to do things, where not to go, who not to hang out with. Give me your heart. My son, give me thine heart. And look at this. This is the part that's missing most of the time. Okay, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Do as I say, not as I do. Okay, now every parent in here, probably right there, felt guilt. Okay, every parent in here felt guilt over that because we've not always all done what we should do. We haven't always been the example that we should be. And we know that within ourselves. Okay, we know we haven't. But it's no excuse for us not to be what God would like us to be, what God wants us to be, the example that we should be. Because, hey, if we want our children to give us our heart, then we need to take the next step and say, let thine eyes observe my ways. When I have your heart, now follow me. That's what it's saying. I have your heart. You're going to go where your heart is, because out of the heart proceed all these things. Okay? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So, child, please give me your heart, and now I'm going to show you which way to go. I'm going to lead you in the path you ought to go on. That means then the parent has got to be on that path. We can't never walk with God, never make the things of God important in our lives, and they're just secondary or third or fourth. We can't do that and then say, hey, spiritual call to arms, and look behind us and say, whoa, where are my kids? What? Where are my grandchildren? Where are they? And they're over here living for the world. Saying, Grandpa, you're crazy. We don't want to do all that. Man, you take that stuff too far. We just want to enjoy our life. Man, we want a good job over here. We don't need all that God. Yeah, we're Christians. We're just not like you are. We believe in God. Give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Because if I have your heart and your eyes are observing my ways, I'm going to say, come on, this is where we're going. You come this way. You know what? Hey, it's Sunday. We're going to be in church. Hey, you know what? It's Monday. You see mom and dad reading their Bible. Hey, it's Tuesday. You know what? You see mom and dad reading their Bible.
Amen.
Hey, it's a little bit later in the day on Tuesday and mom lost it and started yelling at the kids because they spilled something for the 100th time. Right? No? Okay, that's just our house. All right. And it's usually me, not my wife. But you lose it and then you know what? Hey, I've got your heart. Follow me. And then you go to that little four-year-old and you say, you know what? I'm sorry, Daddy was wrong. I shouldn't have yelled at you. What I did was sin. I sinned against God, and God is not happy with me when I do that. Please forgive me. Will you forgive me? You're teaching them to walk in the way. That's what we have to do. Do you know that gets harder as your children become teenagers? It's much harder to do. Humility to humble yourself before them and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. But this is what we're talking about. If we want them to be behind us when we blow that trumpet, then we got to say, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Walk with me. Watch me show you how to serve God. Watch me show you. Let thine eyes observe my ways. Notice it doesn't say, let thine ears hear what I say. It didn't say that, did it? Because there's a lot of people that talk a lot about doing things for God, about serving God, about how much they love God. They talk about it all the time. But that's as far as it goes.
Amen.
That's it. They talk about it. And it never goes beyond talk. Man, I almost liken it to we were talking about last hour. You know, they're angels, or they're ministers of Satan transformed as angels of light. How could you say something so harsh? Well, what else can I expect? They talk, but they don't do.
Right.
Maybe they're not even as high up as the ministers of Satan transformed into angels of light, because at least those guys are doing something. We've got family that, after I first got saved, you know, they professed to be Christians. And they, you know, told me, that, man, how excited they were for me, and they talk all this stuff about the Bible because they know some things about the Bible. But as I began to grow and learn in the Lord and I start looking at their life, I'm like, this is nothing. Like, what in the world? What kind of Christianity have you got? Because this is nothing like what the Bible says. Nothing whatsoever. Nothing. Everything. They do everything contrary to the Bible.
Right.
Everything contrary to the Bible. They skip out on church all the time. They bounce from church to church. They're fornicating. They're drinking. But they're Christians. And they talk about it a lot. But the author of Proverbs didn't say, give me thine heart and let thine ears observe what I say. The author of Proverbs says, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Why? Because I'm going to train you. I'm going to show you how to serve me. I mean, some of you got kids that are young, and you're getting close, maybe time to teach them how to tie their shoes. All right, here's what I want you to do. Just explain to them how to do it. Don't ever show them. Just explain to them how to do it. Get your four-year-old and explain to them. Here's how you tie your shoes. You know, you make a loop, and then I don't even know how to tie shoes anymore. I got to do it to know how to do it. All right, and then you wrap it around and you pull the other loop through and then you snug it tight, and it's that easy. It really is. And all of you that do it, you're like, yeah, it's easy. And you just make the loop. You make the one bunny ear and goes through the rabbit hole and you pull them through and boom, there we go. We got two bunny ears now. All right, that's it. Just explain it to them and they'll get it. No, what do? You show them. You show them so that they can learn how to do it because you're teaching them in a way. See, I've been in the way the Lord led me. See, we want to teach them to get in the way. You know what you're doing with all of that? As you say, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. You know what you're doing? You're training them. You're saying, here's what it looks like to serve God. Here's how I want you to serve God. Follow me. Follow me. I'm going to show you what it means to serve God. I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm going to show you. I'm going to live it out. It will be real before your very eyes. And you'll get to see it. Not just hear about it. Because I'm telling you right now, that what happens is so many people hear about it, and then these children grow up hearing about it. They may even go to church regularly, but they hear about it, and they hear about it, and they hear about it, and they never see any of the stuff that's taught at church lived out. So they hear about it, they hear their parents talk about it sometimes. And they grow up and you go to try and share the gospel with them and they despise Christianity. They hate it. And they say, oh, I don't want anything to do with that legalism. I don't want anything to do with that. I grew up under that hypocrisy. And they completely reject it. Why? Because the parent said, give me thine heart and let your ear hear what I say, not what I do. But the Bible says, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Well, you know what that means then? That means then if mom and dad go and serve God in some way, whatever, go to the nursing home. Come sing a special. Go soul winning. Now we're going to Landmark Church Plant. That means for my kids to observe my ways, guess what that means? They've got to be there with me. They've got to be there with me to see it happening. And then they begin to say through training, through over and over and over and over, seeing it over and over, oh, I see what it means to serve God. I see now. I get it. Simple things like teaching them the church house. And we take care of this. This is ours. We take care of it. There's trash on the floor. Man, I see my mom or dad pick trash up and throw it away. We're teaching them. This place is important. It's ours. It's our place to meet. It's our meeting house. See, always through our actions, we're teaching something. You know, are we asleep during the preaching? Sometimes you get tired. I get it. But what are your children watching? Are you always falling asleep during the preaching time, and it's sleeping time, nap time? Do your children see you with your Bible? Do they see you turning and opening it? Well, I'm just saying, what are you teaching them? You want to blow the trumpet and look back and say, hey, there's my children, my grandchildren, maybe even my great-grandchildren if I live long enough. Well, what are your children right now observing? Go to Proverbs 22:6. I always connect these two. And the reason being is because at one point I was in a church service and a preacher connected them. And ever since then, I've always remembered these. Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. And Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train him up in the way he should go. Train him in the way. You see, that's saying the same thing as give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. You're training him in the way. That means you got to be in the way. Not just tell him, hey, there's the way. That's what you should be doing. But I'm not going, so neither are you. We're tired today. We're not going to serve God today. I'm telling you, hey, look, we all get to raise our children how we want. We get to teach them what we want. We do. I'm here as a pastor to teach you what the Bible says and to show you this is the way God says we ought to go. Now, whether you do it or not, that's up to you. But you'll give an account to God for it. And you know what? Even before then, you're going to reap what you sow. You'll see it in this life. If you don't teach your children the importance of God, and I'm not just talking about your words, that's the last thing I'm talking about. I'm not even talking about the things you teach them if you teach them the Bible and stuff. I'm not even talking about that. More than that is what are you showing them? That's what I'm talking about teaching them. What are you showing them? What are you living before them? Are you living forgiveness before your children? When someone wrongs you, do you teach your children forgiveness? Do you show them what it looks like to forgive? When they do something wrong to you, when they disobey you, do you forgive them? I mean, are you showing them that forgiveness? See, this is what it means. Train up a child in the way he should go. Look, we're both in the way together. That's how I can train you, because we're in the way. And I want your heart, so observe my ways. I'm telling you, you are the biggest deciding factor in whether Christianity is going to be real or not to your children. And some of you are here and you're like, I'm just a teenager, I'm young, I don't even have kids. You are still the biggest deciding factor in whether or not your children are going to serve God or not. So I don't have them yet, but you will one day, most likely. And you are the biggest deciding factor in whether or not your children are going to serve God. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. To train up means to narrow, figuratively to initiate or discipline, to dedicate, to train up. It also means to teach and form by practice, to educate, to exercise, to discipline, as to train the militia to the manual exercise, to train soldiers to the use of arms, to break, to tame, and to accustom to draw as oxen. There's so much. That's a sermon right there. Just the definition that I just read you is a sermon. My points are there. Boom, 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 boom. This is what God expects of us. Merrill Unger said this regarding to train up a child. He said, to initiate or dedicate him as a house or a temple by giving him the training he needs for life. The child is to be introduced to the right way to live from the earliest period of comprehension, Deuteronomy 6:7, 2 Timothy 1:5, and 3:15, that he was brought up under his mother and his grandmother, and that from a child he knew the Holy Scriptures. As a newly built temple, not yet profaned, think about that, okay? Speaking about your child, as a newly built temple, not yet profaned, is solemnly dedicated to the Lord, so a child is to be dedicated as a temple to the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to train up. I'm dedicating them to God. I'm training them up in the way they should go. They're being solely dedicated to God. Now, while they're innocent, before they're profaned, I'm going to train them up in this. I'm going to keep them in this narrow way. I'm going to show them this is the way you go. By my example, I'm going to guide them and I'm going to lead them through this. Goes on to say, in his youthful and pliability is when you do this. And even when he is old, he will not depart from it. The seed sown in childhood is bound to come to harvest in adulthood. Amen. Either way, it's bound to come to harvest. Either way.
Amen.
What are we sowing? We're watching children walk away from the so-called church, from God in droves. Why? Because what was sown in childhood is reaped in adulthood. There it is. Hey, God's not important. Church isn't important when they're children. Every time you miss, you train your children. God is not important.
That's right.
Every single time.
Good.
Why'd you miss? You just told your children, that's more important. Unless this stuff means nothing, unless training means nothing. I mean, you could take any sport, say that they're going to train. Boxing, football, basketball, what are they doing? Every practice. Well, what is that? Practice. What is that? Repetition. It's doing the same thing over. And over, and over, and over, and over, and over, and over, and over. I remember football, we'd get into practice. After a while, it would just be like, we just keep running the same place. Man, why do we keep doing the same place? Over and over. And then sometimes the coaches would get out there and start yelling at us. And plays we've done, you know, 1,000 times, they're in our face yelling at us. You're doing it wrong! What's wrong with you? Pay attention! And they yell at you like that in football. They don't do that in soccer. But you practice over and over and over to train. You train for boxing. You know, how many jabs do you think a boxer throws before they even get to the first fight? If not more. It's more than that. And what do they keep doing the same thing over and over for? Come on, give me a break. You know you need to punch, just go do it in the fight. What are you going to train for? Okay, anybody ever been in a fight for 3 minutes? 3 minutes is a long time to be in a fight, I'm telling you right now, if you've never done it. 3 minutes is a long time. You got like nothing left at the end of probably 2 minutes. I mean, if you're really at it, I mean, there's times when you're like taking a break and the other guy's taking a break too and you're both like... And then one of you gets up and the other one's like, oh man, I wasn't ready. All right, let's go. Because you're giving everything you've got. It's training. Training prepares you for these things. Bad analogy, probably. Let's get back to boxing, okay? They're tired. That's why they take breaks after every 3 minutes. That's why they do that. Training prepares them for it. The Bible talks about that. You know, Paul uses that illustration of boxing. As preparing. And you know, we got lost people will dedicate more to something like that, to even their profession, to a sport, to something along those lines, than saved people that say they love God will devote to God.
Yep.
The one that saved them. Hey, and there's Jesus saying, hey, I gave my all for thee, what hast thou done for me? What hast thou given to me? We say, well, God, I give you an hour and a half on Sundays. Come on. What else do you want? He's like, you do know you don't have to go to hell now, right? You do know I've got rewards waiting for you, right? You're like, come on, I just miss once a month. What is the big deal? Nothing. He says, go ahead. You don't have to be here. You don't have to be here. But remember that you've got children that are observing your ways, and you're pointing them the direction to go. And what you're doing through our example, we're either telling them, we're either screaming to them at the top of our lungs, this is important right here. What we're doing every time we're here is important. It's big. That's why we bring our Bible. Amen. That's why I sing out, even though I can't sing, because I'm telling my children, hey, this is important. Amen. Every single time, that's what you're doing. Or you're saying, that's not important. What are you doing? Not important. We got this other thing we got to do. We got a baseball game we got to go to. And then the lame excuses parents give. Well, I don't want to teach my child to be a quitter. And they signed up for this game, this sport, so we're going to keep them through it. Want to teach them character. Well, didn't you commit them to God? Come on, you dedicated them to God. Train them up in the way they should go.
Amen.
God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, after my sports commitments, after my hunting, there's that nonsense too. I know that's not as big here. You know, we will hunt, but it's some places it's crazy. That's everything. That's everything. You know, fine. Hey, you do what you want. Everyone in here, do what you want. You know, walk in here with a bad attitude. Mumble through the songs. Go ahead. Do it. But remember that either right now or one day, you will have little ones that are watching you. And they pick up the bad habits first. They don't get the good ones.
Amen.
They don't get the, oh, please, thank you. They don't get that. They don't just pick that up. It's got to be trained into them. Sometimes it's got to be beaten into them.
Amen.
Amen. You say, oh, pastor shouldn't say that. The Bible says, beat your child with the rod, he won't die.
Amen.
But they're going to pick up the bad stuff first. I've watched this happen more than once. Okay, parents, split up. Mom, dad. Okay, doesn't matter which one, mom or dad, doesn't matter. One of the spouses or one of the prior spouses, one of the parents, all right, loves God, wants to serve God, has their children in church, teaching them these things. The children are 6, 7, 8 years old, whatever, right around that age. And they grow up and they're just always, you know, we want to be with mom, we want to be with dad, we like going to church, it's fun, we have a good time there, and we like that. And then something happens, they start getting older and they get to 12. Then to 13. And they start coming and they look like, you know, they're sucking on a lemon the whole time they're there.
Yep.
And they're sitting there and they're looking back at the clock. Texting their friend, this is so stupid, I'm here at church. Just all that nonsense. That's what they're doing. As they start getting older, they say, you know what, I don't want to be with mom anymore.
Right.
I don't want to be with dad anymore. I want to be with the parent over here that lets me do what I want. And they choose that. Every one of us gets to choose. We get to choose right now. See, you know, you think, man, I'd hate that. I thank God my kids aren't in a situation like that where there's, you know, where my wife and I are split up and they're having to deal with something like that. Hey, you know what'll help them? Not to ever be in a situation like that. You know what'll help you not to be in a situation like that? Man, follow God and teach your children to follow God.
Amen.
Amen. Train up a child in the way he should go. Train him up. It's narrow. You keep him on that path. Again, going back to the woods, if you're out in the woods walking that path, man, you sometimes know that it is narrow. I mean, it's just like this. Like, this is what you walk down. And you can see it all worn out, but there's bushes and trees and everything all alongside of you. It's a narrow path. And I mean, sometimes even on that path, if you're not paying attention, you're like, wham, branch in the face. Oh, man, what happened? Should have ducked. What are we doing? We got to train them up. It's to dedicate, to discipline. You teach and form them by practice. That's what to train means. You do it over and over, the same thing over and over. Over and over, you just keep teaching them. Over and over. Little ones, sometimes you have to, man, parents can't be lazy. You cannot be lazy. Stop being lazy. Stop being lazy. So if I had a mirror here, I'd say, stop being lazy. Stop being lazy. Parents, you cannot be lazy. Stop being lazy. I'm telling you, when they're little and you keep teaching them the same thing over and over, you have to do it. You have to be consistent. Parents, let me just tell you this. You're better off. Don't even ever tell your children no if you're going to give it to them anyway.
Amen.
I mean that. Don't tell them no if you're going to give it to them anyway. Because then all you taught them, because, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. What you've done then is you've told your children, hey, if I say something to you, I don't mean it. What I say doesn't matter. You just ignore me because I'll give you what you want. So what are you doing? They're training you that they get what they want, and you're training them to just throw a fit loud enough and long enough and I'll eventually give in. That's what you're doing to your children. So you're better off, don't even tell them no. Look, there's sometimes I've made decisions where I jumped the gun and I told my kids no, and later I thought about it and I was like, man, I should let them. But I'm like, nope, I already told them no. I ain't changing now. Why? To be consistent. To be consistent. That's why. Now, I'm not talking about in a dangerous situation or nothing like that. You sometimes got to say, I was wrong. Okay, all right. Go ahead or don't do that when you had given them permission before. But I'm telling you, you start that when they're 6 months old.
Amen.
That's when you start training your children, when they're 6 months old. They start getting it. Man, you know that little baby, you tell them no, and they look at you, and they're like, don't touch that. And they're like, you know, this? You're like, no. And they're like, what do you do? That's right. That's exactly what you do. You go up and you whoop them. Amen. You get their little hand, and you go, no. And you get that voice, too.
Amen.
That one that scares them. And you look at them like that. And then you go away, and here's what most parents do. They say, I'm going to take you away from that. No, no, no. Train them. Train them. There's a glass or something. You don't want them touching it. See, I was taught, you know, kind of the philosophy was you childproof your house. Right? Isn't that how they say it? Childproof your house? No, houseproof your child.
Amen.
Okay, that's what you do. You houseproof your child.
Amen.
Okay, that's how you do it. So maybe there's a glass you don't want them to get and you stick it on the table. You're like, there it is. Put it there. And you're going to see they're going to go for it. You tell them, no, don't touch that. And you look at them and you say, no, don't touch that. And they come up and they're going to grab it. See, what I tell you, I told you no, you take it from them, you whoop their little hand. And you leave them there. And you pick it up and you put it right back there and said, don't touch it. Now, some people don't agree with what I'm telling right here. Maybe people in here don't agree with it. But the Bible says to train up a child. Let's go back to the definition. Let's see what it says here. To teach and form by practice. By practice. You look at some of the greatest athletes. You know some of the greatest athletes as you start getting the background of their work ethic? Like, I don't know why I'm just thinking of Jerry Rice. He's probably the greatest wide receiver that's ever played football. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Jerry Rice, after practice was over, he would go and run gassers up the stairs of the stadium and back down. The whole team's in the locker room, you know, resting, showering, leaving, and he's there running gassers. Boom, boom, running when nobody else is. He's doing it. What's he doing? He's practicing. Practicing. See, this is what to train means. He's training. To train up a child in the way he should go. And he, when he's old, he'll not depart from it. So train means to teach and form by practice, to educate, to exercise, to discipline. So back to the illustration. This is what you do with little kids. This is how you train them. Okay, let me go read another part of the definition. I want us to get this. To break, look at this, to tame and accustomed to draw as oxen. So the example of training is just like you would train an ox. You break them. You tame them. Man, some of us have had some kids. They need some taming.
Amen.
You're like, where did this wild little beast come from? I'm telling you right now, man. I look at a two-year-old and they'll just look at you in the face and they'll be like, no. You're like, what? This little thing down here. And they're just like, no. Like, come on. You want a piece of me? I mean, that's how these little ones are looking at you. And you're like, what? What is wrong with you? You come here. What are you thinking? They need to be tamed. They need to be broken. And that's what training does. It breaks their will. It teaches Amen. Them. You've got to do it. So back to this. You already whooped them once. And you leave it there and you put it there so they notice it. You'd be like, no. And you go back and you sit down and you wait for them to touch it again because that's what they're going to do. You just sit there and wait for them to touch it again. You know they're going to. So you just sit there and watch and wait. They'll look at you. They'll do that whole thing again. Like they might like pretend to play with something. They'll be kind of like. And as soon as they do it, what do? You get up. I said no. Whoop them again. And then, do it again. 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 Honestly, the best thing for you to do is set up scenarios to teach them. We go to school to be taught. We set up scenarios, so to speak, as a classroom, so we can be taught something. Set up scenarios. When you have energy, mom and dad, because I know all the time, sometimes you're like, oh, I don't want to do this right now. So do it when you have some energy. Say, all right, man, tomorrow at 9 o'clock, I'm gonna teach this kid something. And you set it up. And you tell him. Put even their toy. I mean, it doesn't, anything, just to teach them to obey you.
Amen.
Because you know what? There's sometimes you don't want them to play with something. Say, now is not the time to play. And I said, no. You're teaching them submission to biblical authority. You know what you're doing? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. You know what you're showing them? When you teach them to submit to you as their authority, their biblical authority that's over them, you're telling them, look, you submit to me. Now you can just say like this, hey, follow me in the way you should go. Hey, give me your heart, let thine eyes observe my ways, and I'm taking you right to Jesus. That's who I'm taking you, because that's who I'm following. And you're taking him there, and then you can say, now look there, that's who you really need to submit to.
Amen.
He's the one you need to submit to. I do all this that I'm doing for you because I submit to him. He's the one we submit to. But you're training over and over, over and over. You know, after my kids, as they got a little bit older, you know, they were maybe 4, 5, 6. And you do have to break their will. Okay, that means sometimes you have to whoop them many times to break their will. In that moment, they have to be broken. They have to be submissive. And you know it because their body relaxes.
Amen.
All right, look, if you're spanking your child and you're having to hold them down, I'll tell you right now, they have not submitted. You have not broken their will. If you are forcefully holding them, they're not broken. You need to break them. How do you do that? You keep whooping them.
Amen.
That's what you do. You keep whooping them until you'll feel their whole body will just go. I mean, you'll have them over and they'll be like, and then when their will breaks, they'll just, and you're done. So you don't need to anymore. Your will has to overtake their will.
Right.
Otherwise, if you don't, you're strengthening their will and you're teaching them. You just stand and hold out long enough and you won't have to submit.
Amen.
You're teaching them that. So this is what you want to do with your children. And I know some people think that I can't do that. I can't. You better. Or you hate your child.
Amen.
Hey, come on now. It's in there. It's in there. Read it in Proverbs. You better. Because you're training them. And this is what has to happen. So many times as my children got older, for whatever disobedience it was, it didn't matter. It could be something small. I mean, sometimes I'd whoop them if I just told them to do something and they were just like, fine. I'm like, you know, get the paddle. And they knew what that meant. Or I said, go to my room. They knew, get the paddle first and go to my room. They knew it. How'd they know that? Because I trained them. Amen. Amen. You're teaching them. You're disciplining them. You're showing them how it should go. So many times after I would go through and here's how I would do it. This is what me and my family would do. I would wait sometimes till I was calm. I wouldn't go in when I'm all mad. Because sometimes they do stuff and you're just like, you know, you want to just light them up. And you just, nope, I would wait till I'm calm. Till I calm. Sometimes they'd be in there for 30 minutes. And I'd just be out. I just praying, you know, just God help me. And, all right, I'm calm. Now I go in, I sit down, I talk with them, I'd be like, look, what did you do wrong? And I'd have them say it. So they're learning. What are they learning? What are you teaching them? Come on now. You're teaching them confession of sin. You're teaching them to own up to their sin.
Amen.
But here's what so many parents do. They teach their children to excuse sin. Oh, my little baby didn't do that. Come on now. You know your kid's a sinner like everybody else is. What are you talking about? Your kid's not capable of lying or stealing or cussing or something. Come on. And they're little sinners like anybody else. Come on. Every kid's capable of all that same stuff. But you're teaching them to own their sin and to confess it. And if they won't say it, you tell them, no, you lied to me. You disobeyed me. I told you to do this. You didn't do it. You had a bad attitude when I asked you to do this. That's not obedience. You're teaching them. So I would talk to them about that, and then I'd say, that's wrong. You sinned against God when you dishonored me. And then I would pray with them. I'd say, let's pray. I would usually pray first, and I'd say, now you pray. And they didn't have to confess it right then. Sometimes they did. But I'd say, you need to get that right with God. As little kids, I would be teaching them this. Why? Because I'm training them in the way they should go so when they're old, they won't depart from it. I'm asking them, give me my heart, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. This is what I'm doing. This is what we have to do. This is what it means to train up a child. All right? We can't be lazy as parents. We have to do this. And then I'd whoop them until they broke. Okay? Till I broke their will. It's not just like, oh, well, you did this, so it's 3 swats. Nope. You did this for this kid, it might be 1 swat. I mean, some of my kids were broken before I even whooped them. I just whoop them so they know there's a consequence for sin. But they were already broken before I even went in there. Others, it's like, all right, round 459. I mean, sometimes that's what every kid's different. You can't just say, you did this, so that's 5 swats. Nope, I'm going until you break. That's when you're done. And usually I would do 1 after they broke for good measure. But then after all that was done, then I'd say, all right, and let me just tell you, best place to hit them, just right back here. That soft skin, just get it. You know, don't let them have pillows and big old fluffy stuff back there. I mean, sometimes I'd have to tell my girls, I'm like, here, put a blanket on or a sheet on and pull your skirt up. My son, drop your pants. Here, put a sheet on. You're going to feel this. You need to feel it. And you just get that skin right back here where it's going to sting. You're not trying to like cause vital bodily damage. You're just trying to get them to know, man, this is going to hurt. Stop disobeying. So after all that's done and they're there, I would immediately ask them, I'd say, now go pick this up for me. Anything. I might grab a sock and throw it. I'd be like, pick that up and go put it in the laundry for me. Why? So why would you do that? What do you mean? I'm training them.
Amen.
Will you obey me? And will you do it with the right attitude? Because if they did it with the wrong attitude, I'd say, oh, Get back in here. We're not done. And that's not fun. I never enjoyed any of that. I hated doing it. But I love my kids enough to say, I want you to follow God when you're older. I want you to choose God, and I'm going to train you in the way you should go. And I'm going to do the best I can to set the right example for you. I want my children to know how to raise their children, so I'm going to train them in the way they should go. Here's how you do it. We'll still teach them. Here's what you do in that situation. Here's how you handle that. We're training them in the way they should go. A lot of people say, oh, spare the rod, spoil the child. That's true. It's not in the Bible, but the principle is. The principle is in there. And we've got to train our children. This is what it means. We want to blow that trumpet like Gideon and look back and our family's behind us. Got to train your children. Got to train them. You can't be lazy about it. It's just got to be day in and day out, week in and week out, especially when they're little. It's more work when they're little because they know nothing. But even as they get older, it's still. Dad said no, it means no. Mom said no, it means no. You know, children real quick figure out, you know, I'm going to go ask Dad about this. But this I'm going to go ask Mom about. They right away start figuring that stuff out. My kids will just, they'll send certain people to come ask me certain things. All right? Because they say, well, you know, you go ask Dad this. But that same thing, they wouldn't ask their mom, but they'll go ask their mom something that they would never bring to me. Because they start figuring this stuff out right away. So there needs to be consistency. So sometimes we'd feel like, man, I don't know if they're doing it on purpose, but like they're trying to pit us against each other. We'd be like, hold on, we'll let you know. One parent would be like, I'll let you know. Let me talk to your mom. She'd be like, let me talk to your dad. And then we would discuss it. But what do you think? What should we do? Now, that doesn't always happen. Sometimes I, you know, put my foot in my mouth. I'm good at that. And then she'd be like, later, she would never do it in front of the kids. We'd always discuss this stuff separate if she disagreed. Sometimes I see her jumping on the kids and I'm like, man, she's being kind of harsh. And I'm just like, whoa, okay. I wouldn't say anything then. I'd back her up. I'm like, I think she's wrong, but she already told them. I'm like, listen to your mom. But inside, I'm like, she's wrong. But talk to her about it later. We back each other up. Same thing. She's done that with me probably more times than I have with her. You know, me being too harsh on the kids, and I can just see it in her face sometimes, and I'm like, I better probably back off a little bit. And then she'll talk about it later. She's like, you were kind of harsh with this. And I was like, all right, you're right. Sorry. You know, we learn from each other, but we would never discuss it in front of the kids. I'm going to ask my kids, have we ever done that stuff, discussed that stuff in front of you guys? Can you think of? No? No? Isaiah? No? I mean, there might be a time or two when we maybe did, but for the most part, we don't. Why? Because we want them to see a united front. What are we doing? We're training them. We're always training them. So we discuss it later. But you're always training your children. We've got to do that. Now, look, everything I'm saying, you people... You might be thinking that, like, man, pastor thinks he's the perfect parent. He does everything right. No, mixed in that is a lot of mistakes I made. I mean, a ton of mistakes. Doing things wrong. A lot, okay? I mean, a lot. But this is what I've learned through the years. So take this wisdom and apply it. Learn from it. Don't be like the fool in Proverbs that says, I got to experience everything myself. No, learn from somebody else's mistakes and say, I don't want to do that same thing. I better do this.
Amen.
All right, Gideon blew that trumpet and he had his family behind him because he followed God. He followed God and they said, we can follow that. They were there. I want my family there with me. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you.